I know a lot about it, and I'm like, I know the.
Did you watch the anime?
What's that?
Did you watch the anime?
I was a kid, yeah. Like, I didn't watch
it. You were a kid, you were like 20!
No! I was like.
It started in 2000!
I was like 17 when it started.
That is not a child! You're like six months from being a legal goddamn adult!
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shame for this place!
Destruct Podcast!
Bullshit it is!
Oh, well, I guess I'll just pack all this stuff up then.
Yep.
Alright, cool. We're done. No, just kidding. I wanted
to play some Super Nintendo games.
That's true, yeah.
I guess we could talk into these dumbass microphones for a little bit.
I guess we could. We just played Psychonauts.
We did.
Which is considered pretty much a gaming classic, I think. But wasn't a top seller of any kind.
Definitely not.
No. It didn't make anybody any money. But it was, it's kind of known as like that little quirky kind of work of art that people really enjoy. So
yeah, I know a bit of history on this game. We'll go into this in good detail here in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's our game of the week, our retro game experience. Granted, it's not that old.
That sounds better than old-ass games. Retro game experience. I don't know.
RGE is not a. It's not a good acronym.
That's true.
I like OG.
OG is pretty good.
I you know, my long-standing theory that if you're gonna make an acronym, I need to be able to fucking pronounce it.
That's true. Yeah, you need to be. Able
I'm gonna
to
say it
specifically in that order.
Hips,
right? Hips, OG, lag, which we haven't done yet.
Lag.
Lag is probably my favorite one. Did we ever mention that one on here? Lag's kind of good.
I don't think so.
Lag is going to be our term for, if we ever get one down, called for long-ass game.
Long-ass game. It's going to be a long-play version of Hips.
Yeah.
Where we sit down, and I punish Brandon with like a 100-hour RPG. I think, because, you know, Hips is fantastic for a game like Metal Gear Rising.
Right.
Very short game in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, very quick.
And a lot happens in a short period of time.
Yeah.
If you were to take a game like, I don't know, Persona 4
right.
or Phantasy Star 2
right.
and make 10-minute episodes of that.
It would go on for a while, I think.
I guess you'd get some finality in Phantasy Star 2 because we just died a bunch.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We played like a few minutes of that a couple weeks ago. Did that video come out?
It came out. I need to get all the audio and everything synced.
I don't know if we can technically call that a long-ass game video. I would like that dumb video to be on the site.
Oh, it's going up.
Yeah.
It's going up. We had a lot of gems in that one.
That was...
the space mosquitoes will be going up.
The fuck. Yeah.
But yeah, experiencing lag is what we're kind of talking about.
Yeah, experiencing lag.
The thing I think I'd like to do about it is like, what if we just like put it up in like giant chunks, like hour long videos of us going through those things?
I'm perfectly fine with that.
All right, we might do that. It'll take a while to upload that, but I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think. A long-form version of us slowly going insane would probably be okay.
It'd probably be a delve into our lives,
I've got a few games that I really think would be good potential games for that.
Sure.
But, like, the number one game I'd like to play is Persona 4.
Yeah.
But Giant Bomb already did that.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're funnier than us.
They are funnier than us. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think we occasionally get a banger, but, man, those fuckers.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good. Yeah.
And I've watched them play through that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played through that game on the PS2.
Yeah.
And then I played through it on the Vita.
Yeah.
I have seen that game. So man. Yeah, there's some others out there, like Digital Devil Saga, a lot of that other weird Shimagami Tensei shit.
Right, yeah.
If you wanted to go way Japanese-y on that.
Sure.
Because some of those other ones have that awesome dating simmy shit that,
yeah.
for whatever reason, gets me. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this... Man, I want to make this dude my best friend, and I want to date this pretty lady with the glasses.
If there's anything about you that says dating sim, I never found it.
I didn't think I was that kind of guy either. But not like creepy dating sim.
Right, yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, I don't want to see their panties.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's a lot of what you get out of that stuff. Right. It's like, you can see their panties.
That's amazing. Look at this game.
But for me, it's like that genuine
yeah.
adolescent, like, fucking... Just some kids in high school, man, kicking it.
It's true.
Something yeah. about that, I'm like, this is charming as shit.
This is charming. Yeah, we could definitely do long-ass game like that. Because there's lots of games with, like, just, like... That aren't necessarily good, but just has tons of gameplay that you can go through. And, you know, some of those have kind of been done... Sonic 06 was done by the Game Grumps, and I think that's a masterpiece of just garbage.
That is...
that's
a smoking fucking burner there,
that's a burner is what that is. But yeah, it's just, I would like to do that, maybe experience one of those big long-ass games back there.
I've got a lot of them.
There are a lot.
I've got a lot of them.
It's true, it's true. We could do some good ones, too, like Final Fantasy VI and whatnot, so...
My goal is to do one this summer.
Yeah.
With Todd.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. I'd be alright with that.
Because I'm going on vacation.
Yeah!
I'm going to go up and see Todd.
Alright, cool.
And I want to lock him in a room for like 8 hours to have us play through some dumb game.
I'd be alright.
Something preferably that he would hate.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm trying to sell him on Friday the 13th for the NES.
Trying to sell him on that.
Because I'm like, dude, we'll get a FAQ.
Yeah.
We'll probably knock this thing out in 3 fucking hours. Let's do this.
Do the thing.
And he's not buying it.
Well, just lock him in a room and we'll
get
that done.
See that shirt I posted the other day?
No, I didn't.
The Friday the 13th shirt?
No, I didn't.
It's incredible.
Is it?
It's incredible.
What is it?
It's Friday the 13th Jason.
Right.
And it's like it's got like, you know, Mark in the upper right-hand corner and all his health's going. It says, you and your friends are dead. And it's a fucking dope-ass looking Jason. It's fucking great. And it's even in that same color palette like that. Weird fucking teal and purple and shit.
Yeah, purple suit.
Like, I think it's purple. I don't know. I've got problems with colors.
His purplish jumpsuit. That's
yeah, it looks fucking great. I'm really leaning towards buying this dumb shirt. I don't wear a lot of screen printed shirts. I own a lot. I don't wear them very often. I wear that every day. It'd be like a coat of arms for me.
I wear that all the time.
Look at this. You and your friends are dead. Game over.
You remember that game? No one remembers that game.
Just give everybody the finger when they look at it like, what's with Jason? He looks weird.
Oh, man.
At this point, like, how many people wouldn't even recognize Jason?
That's true.
He's
been out of it, yeah.
Other than that shitty remake from 09.
Yeah, nobody likes it. Nobody likes either of the remakes. They were bad. That's why. Oh, man. It's going to be weird to, like, talk to kids about who's Jason Voorhees. Like, he's like a horror classic, and you should really know this.
Or, like, anybody that, like, my personal favorite horror movie of all time is the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, yeah.
They remade that a few years back and turned him into a straight-out rapist.
Yeah.
And I saw about 20 minutes of it and turned it the fuck off.
Yeah, like, it's bad.
It was always, like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because Freddy were always like, that guy's got some problems,
right?
But he's probably gotten way more fucked up since he died.
Sure.
But in this one, it's just like, yeah, just... oh, God, what?
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah, super fucking weird.
There was always that sort of, like, backwards thought of, like, what did he do with those kids kind of thing? And it's, you know, like, in the original and everything, but it was always just murder.
It was always murder. Like, he was messed up.
Yeah, he was messed up, and there was always, like, this... thought of, like, maybe he did, you know, whatever. But it was always that mysterious kind of thing to it. It wasn't, like, shoved in your face, like, I'm a pedophile, you know?
It's been a couple years since I've seen the first one. This is probably the longest stretch of time I've gone in a while without seeing the first movie.
Sure.
But, if I'm not mistaken, he had killed teens.
Yeah.
And he killed the teens as punishment for the parents. And it wasn't necessarily...
Yeah. little children and what.
It wasn't like he was out there just getting the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I think he did murder children, and that's when like they burned him or whatever, and I can't remember the whole story.
It was a technicality. He was let go on a technicality.
Yeah.
And then the parents in town burned him.
Burned him to death.
But,
yeah
man, what the fuck were they thinking?
I don't know what they were thinking with that. It was bad.
How do you not get Robert Englund either?
Yeah, yeah. I like that actor, too, that played him, but it's, you don't...
I don't even know who that dude is.
Yeah, but you don't not do, you know... you don't not do Robert Englund.
We'll move on from that.
We will. But that's fine.
We got one piece of news this week.
We do. And not a whole lot of what you've been playing either, because you didn't get to play.
I haven't played much Chrono Trigger this week. There will not be a Chrono Trigger article on the site this week. My weekend just got jammed.
A Chronicle Trigger, as it were. Is that? No,
he's shaking my head.
Shaking his head at me. That's fine.
I did play some Fear Effect this weekend.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I'd gotten that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's I remember that.
For like $4.
$4.
That felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Going back to Fear Effect now. Mm-hmm. Forgot how Blade Runner-y.
Oh yeah.
Is the it? Look of that game totally is.
Right.
I like Blade Runner.
Does it look like one? Is that... Because one kind of reminds me of Blade Runner. It's
imagine like, if one was on the PS2, and there was no platforming, very little gunplay, and the crazy thing about that game is that every background is a CG movie.
Interesting. So,
all of the environments will have like fans blowing stuff, so all the stuff that they couldn't render in 3D in real time on the PS1,
they just made it a CG.
Yes, okay. So it's like you walking through these CG environments. Did you ever play many like CD multimedia games?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Remember how it was always like dudes in this CG background?
Right, sure.
You can kind of tell they're not really there. This is blended a lot better because it's fake people in a fake background, so it feels better.
Right.
But yeah, like all the environments are super interesting to look at.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, here's a fan that's blowing this and mist coming out of this thing. And it makes the game actually, as long as you're not scrutinizing it too much, look a lot more technically impressive than it really is.
Right.
I mean, for, I believe the first game came out in 2000 on the PS1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a good look to it. Very latter era. It's right around the time of, like, that and Jet Set Radio are, like, the first cel-shading games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's really only done on the characters in Fear Effect.
Yeah.
As opposed to the entire game being like this.
Yeah.
But it gives them, like, almost like an anime kind of look to them.
Yeah, I did notice that on the... Because I've never played Fear Effect at all, so...
We should play some Fear Effect sometime. Like, maybe not for a video.
Right.
But just you kind of see what the fuck this weird game is.
Yeah.
It's basically Resident Evil control-wise.
Right.
You know, tank controls, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good game, though.
Okay. Cool.
So, yeah, I played a little bit of that.
Cool.
It's a big four-disc fucking game because all those CG backgrounds chew up a lot of fucking space.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's a very long game. I think it's only like 8 or 10 hours like your typical Resident Evil.
Right.
But because every environment is so much bigger because it's an interactive... Well, not interactive, but a moving picture instead of a static, pre-rendered background.
Sure.
Like Resident Evil was.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy VII had that as well, where it's like, this whole thing is just not 3D. It's just a pre-rendered background.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of what I played this weekend. I goofed around with Fear Effect and a couple of, like, Bomberman 5 for the Super Famicom. Played that for a little bit.
You did. That's a good versus candidate. You mentioned that.
Yeah. Bummer that... Bummer that one doesn't have four-player.
It doesn't have four-player, really.
Granted, I don't have a four-player tap for my SNES, but if that had four-player, I might consider doing it. But unless it shows you the four-player options once you plug the tap in...
Right. Doesn't seem to have
it. Seem to have that. Mm,
okay.
But I do have Bomberman Online for the 360. It's not a fantastic version of it.
Right.
But we can get four controllers together and fuck around with that.
It is a Bomberman, so that'll do.
That's better than that shitty version of Mr. Driller that they put on Xbox Live Arcade. What a fucking shit show that was.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah. It looked pretty awful.
Mr. Driller Online, more like Mr. Driller, go fuck yourself.
Oh, man.
I have already said fuck like 45 times in this podcast.
That's fine. We're
I said we count a couple weeks ago? 103.
What? 103. He said 103 fucks last week.
Every time we release a podcast, I send my mom a text message that says I'm sorry.
Sorry about this. I really apologize. Yeah. My mom doesn't even listen to this when I tell her not to.
Thank God.
I don't think anything that we say would interest her, and I don't think the filthiness of it would really go over well. So,
Remember when this podcast was PG?
Yeah. That didn't last, a week?
Oh, man.
That didn't last a while at all.
I'm a horrible person.
Oh, well. That's fine. It's probably for the better, you know. So
today.
Anyway. Yes.
I posted a news article on our site.
Yes, you did. Regarding the only real news item we have today. Because it's kind of a big bomb. It's kind of a big drop.
What's funny is, because of when this news came out, we'll be one of the only podcasts this week probably that talks about it.
It's true.
Because most people record on Mondays.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, world exclusive!
Woo! Yeah!
How?
Nintendo is entering the mobile game market.
Yeah.
They're going to be developing mobile games.
They bought a significant portion. They refer to it as a partnership, but they bought a significant portion of a large mobile game developer out of Japan. It's spelled D-E-N-A, but it's pronounced DNA.
DNA.
Yeah.
It's pronounced DNA. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's DNA.
I said Dena when I read it.
No, it's Dena.
That's Dena, obviously. Clearly.
It's Dena.
Dena. All right.
But yeah, they bought a significant portion of them. There are quite a few social networking hub programs in Japan.
Right.
For video games. It's basically like a launcher for your smartphone where you'll have think of it as Steam for your cell phone.
Right.
So you've got your unified friends list, unified leaderboards, that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's become very popular over there to do that. This company started with, I think it's Mogabi is what their shell for this is. There's another very similar program in Japan, unrelated company called Line. Line is the biggest thing in Japan.
Okay.
For cell phones.
Yeah.
I think it's their biggest social network, period.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very big over there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, was it Puzzle and Dragons, Wizard and Dragons, whatever that weird dragon game that's super fucking popular over there is.
Right.
It's part of that service. Line is a really big deal.
Right.
Over there. So, Nintendo bought into this company and is going to be releasing games for mobile devices.
Right.
Cell phones, tablets, PC.
Oh, wow. PC gaming from Nintendo. That's crazy. Never really thought I'd be saying that. Other than, what was the last PC game that Nintendo put out? Was it Mario Math, whatever? There was a Mario Math game, if I remember right, and that
was Mario Is Missing ever on the PC?
I feel like Mario Is Missing was on there, but yeah, I mean,
other than like learning stuff, I don't believe they have ever published. There may have been back in the 80s, you know, somebody porting like Donkey Kong.
Right.
That game kind of floated. It was on the ColecoVision and shit, so.
Yeah.
That leads me to believe it was probably on the Atari ST because that hardware was so similar.
Sure, yeah.
You know, there may have been a Commodore version of that, so that's technically PC. But I mean, you're going deep. You're going pre NES.
Yes, pre NES. You're going into pre history of video games.
Yeah, basically. I have a 5200 version of Donkey Kong?
There you go.
It's something like that.
52.
It's 52 or 7800. It's one of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they bought into this company, you know, they say by the end of the year, they're going to be releasing games. I would say that you'll probably see some stuff this summer. I think E3, you'll probably see somebody standing in a Nintendo booth holding a fucking phone.
Phone. Going, here got a Nintendo phone.
That's weird.
Yeah.
They have expressed zero interest in developing a phone, and I'm glad that they didn't go the Sony route and try to make like a, oh, we partnered with Ericsson to make this fucking thing you don't want. Remember that Xperia Play, that fucking piece of garbage?
I don't remember that at all, actually. Did they really try to make a phone?
They did.
Oh, wow.
They didn't try.
I don't remember that
at all. Granted, they didn't succeed, but they did.
They made it.
Yeah, whether you want it or not.
It's there, dude.
Yeah, it played PS1 games in 2010. Like, wow. Great. Fuckers.
Woo! Typing of the dead on the phone.
Yeah, I think the Xperia line still lives, but the Xperia Play, mm-hmm. It looked almost exactly like a PSP Go. You know, the slide-out PSP Go?
Sure.
Except instead of having a stick on the left side, mm-hmm. It had two touch pads instead of thumbsticks. They were apparently fairly decent, you know, to do digital-style, you know, fake controls, but yeah. I don't think you're going to see fucking Mario on a phone.
Right.
I have a game here right now that we probably should have played before this podcast that I think is going to be more representative of what you will see from Nintendo on portable devices.
Right.
You're going to see small WarioWare style games that will give you a taste of the Nintendo flavor.
Mm.
You'll have, you know, I don't know, fucking poke this Pikachu, fuck you. Like, you'll have something like that that will...
Oh, dude.
And through a service that they're going to be launching later this year,
right.
You're going to finally be able to buy a Nintendo game in one place and have it work on fucking everything.
Yeah.
Your phone, your tablet, your PC, your Wii U, your 3DS, you buy one game, it works fucking everywhere.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
cool. They have described this as a service.
Mm-hmm.
So I am inclined to believe that it, instead of purchasing games individually, it will be a monthly fee. If you describe this as a service.
Right.
But I'll give you $15 a month to play old Nintendo shit.
Right, yeah. Dude, yeah, I just thought about that. You're absolutely right. Like, WarioWare type stuff would be kind of perfect for their mobile platforms and stuff like that.
Rhythm Heaven?
Yeah.
Rhythm Heaven?
Right.
Oh, man, Rhythm Heaven. Electro fucking Plankton?
Oh, dude, what about, like, dude, what about a Pokemon Snap augmented reality style to where you just look around your place? And, like, Pokemon will pop up. You gotta snap them. Like,
I've never been more aroused in my entire life.
That'd be amazing.
The Pikachu is in my house!
It's in my house! It's down the street! I have to go find the Pikachu! Oh, man.
When you see a 300-pound white man running down the street with a cell phone in front of him, go, come back, Pikachu!
Come back! I gotta find this Onix! Get out of the way!
Fuck you, Turtwig!
That was the day police were called on us.
Oh, man, these sweet shots of that coughing.
Check this
out. Oh, man, I can talk about Pokemon all day long.
Oh, yeah,
we need
man.
To do a Pokemon episode.
We do need to do a Pokemon episode, because, fun fact, never played a Pokemon game
before
in my life. Never played a Pokemon game in my life.
What?
Never played it. Dead serious.
What are you fucking doing with your life?
I don't know. Maybe we should play one.
Someone who is as obsessive as you over a solitary thing.
That's true.
Do yourself a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Go get a DS Lite.
Yeah.
Get any Pokemon game.
Any of the Pokemon. Okay.
Guess what? There's one Pokemon game. They just keep
making it. Okay, I have played the only one that's not like it. I've played Battle Arena. That's the only one.
But that's not a real game.
It's not a real one, I know.
That's a stadium game.
It's a stadium game. It's a stadium. Yeah, I played the stadium. That's,
you know what?
And it's not the same thing.
You know what the best part about
Pokemon
aware, is?
I'm aware it's not the same thing.
But you know what the best part about Pokemon is?
What's that?
Fucking riding a bicycle and fucking, like, I don't know, this fucking Slowpoke's asleep. Fuck it. Like, that's the best part. It's not like, oh, I'm just...
Got to teach him...
Got this right, you. I don't know.
I know a lot about it, and I know...
Did you watch the anime?
What's that?
Did you watch the anime?
I was a kid, yeah. Like, I didn't watch
it. You weren't a kid, you were like 20!
No, I was like...
It started in 2000!
I was like 17 when it started.
That is not a child! You're like six months from being a legal goddamn adult!
Dude, you have to understand, I host another podcast where I talk about cartoons... I never stopped watching cartoons, okay?
Yeah, but like when I was a kid, that is like 12. I actually, when I tell somebody when I was a kid, I'm thinking more like 8.
It started like 98, didn't it?
No! The game didn't come out in the US until fucking late 98. The anime was after that.
But I thought the anime like came out pretty quick.
It was game,
yeah.
Cards, anime.
Yeah, I feel like the anime came out really quick. It was like 99, and I was like, I was like 16. That's what it was.
I will let you Google this.
I was like 15 or 16.
I will let you Google this.
Because I graduated in 2002.
Let's ruin this podcast by Googling this.
I don't want to ruin this podcast. So let's...
I think Googling things will eventually ruin this podcast.
I think it probably will.
All right, let's get away from fucking Pokemon.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, man, I love fucking Pokemon.
We should do a Pokemon episode. I will say, let's do a Pokecast. The Pokecast.
Oh, dude. All right, here's a great idea. Okay. And then we can drop this, okay?
Okay, yeah.
You get a DS.
Okay.
You get a Pokemon game.
Okay.
I get the same Pokemon game. and we compare our experiences like once a month.
That's not a bad idea, actually. I kind of like that, yeah.
Slap hands!
All right, that's a five. We might do that, so... Because I kind of want to
do Because I'm almost done with Metroid again, and I'm like, well...
I don't know what else to do.
I guess I could play through Elite Beat Agents again. Elite Beat Agents. You ever fucking played that?
No, I haven't played it.
Man, I know. I will lend you that. That fucking game's great.
I'll lend you that one. That's pretty cool. But yeah.
What were we even talking about?
I don't even remember what we were talking about. We were talking about Nintendo and what they would...
Oh, all right. So, yeah, like, they got that service that's launching by the end of the year. I'm super excited to hear what they have to say. I think if they follow the design concept of... let's make your Rhythm Heaven-ish, your WarioWare-ish, your NES Remix-ish sort of stuff on here, as opposed to, let's put a digital fucking D-pad on screen and have a shitty version of Legend of Zelda.
Right.
Nobody fucking wants that. And also, none of those aspect ratios will line up.
Yeah.
So you're going to end up with, like, all right, on a small phone screen anyway... 40% of the screen is completely empty.
Right.
Great!
Yeah.
Oh, but we could have sweet, like, curtains on the side. That's like, hey, fucking, here's the Master Sword. Awesome.
it's off the side, though. So.
Well, you gotta have something to fill the edges.
It's true, you gotta fill up the edges with something.
You know, like, almost all the Nintendo games that were ever in the arcade were, like, PlayChoice 10 machines, so there's not, like, sweet cabinet art that you could put on there. It's That's true. My favorite part about, like, Xbox Live Arcade... Fucking, like, old Miss Pac-Man and shit. They put that sweet cabinet art on the side. Like, man, that looks sick.
That looks good.
Yeah, look at that. It looks kind of grody, but in a way that I'm like,
There you go. That'll work.
So, yeah, like, I'm super excited to see what they'll actually do. I'm half inclined to be like, God damn it, this is the harbinger that we've all been waiting for. Like, this is...
Right.
This is, like, step one in a four-step process until they're, like, Sega, and they're like, we're just gonna make... Can somebody give us some money?
We're just gonna do this. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Nintendo's got a lot of money. They've got a lot of money, and...
They're burning through it.
They're burning through it, but, like, they could, you know, like, they could go through, I think, maybe, like, three or four more Wii U, you know, collapses.
What?
What, like...
Do you have any idea how much money you can lose on those?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, they lost what? On the... What did they lose out this recent time or whatever?
I remember last year it was almost $700 million. I think this year they lost like $100 million.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're getting close to $1 billion
dollars. Yeah.
For a publicly traded entity.
Yeah.
At a certain point, somebody's going to tell them, guys, we're not allowed to make hardware anymore. Because the Japanese market does work differently, but... Their investors still have rights.
True. Yeah.
And,
you
know, if they can, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this continues for much longer for, you know, your Satoru Iwata's to be looking for another job.
Right.
And I don't want that. Like, I said at the end of the article that, you know, I don't want a world without a Nintendo platform.
Agreed.
Because the most interesting stuff this generation so far has, a lot of it's been on the Wii U.
Right.
I don't think that the PlayStation or the Xbox have come into their own yet. I think we're getting closer.
Yeah.
But most of the most impressive, graphically, games that you've seen this generation have been very short.
Yeah.
Or like one-trick ponies, like your Order 1886s.
Yeah.
Or straight-up boring, like the Order 1866.
Yeah.
But, you know... I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but, you know, there are some bright lights on the horizon here. I think they're going to try to use this as an initiative to pull people into the Nintendo fold, try to get those lapsed gamers Right. The people that just now have tablets.
Sure.
You know, they did say as a part of this that they are developing the successor to the 3DS.
Sure.
If I had to guess, I would assume you will see that announced this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am of the opinion that next year they will announce the successor to the Wii U.
Yeah.
That would put, if it came out next holiday, that would put that system at about 4 years.
Right.
And that's a shortish run.
It's a short run.
But the growth for that system, it just isn't there.
No, no.
Nobody gets it. Nintendo doesn't even necessarily seem to know what to do with it,
yeah.
Other than, well, it's like an item screen.
Like, yeah, it's true. Like, the developers, like, here's the thing, like, a lot of people were like, oh, the Wii U, it's ridiculous, you know, like, it kind of got crapped on, like, a lot of their kind of weird peripheral type stuff, and, like, the Wii kind of got crapped on, oh, motion control, who the fuck's gonna want that, you know, turns out a lot of people did. because they found a different market for it and everything, a lot of casual, they grabbed a casual market with the Wii, like they really did. And I was really expecting a lot of clever things to come out of that, because I remember the DS being kind of that way too, like, oh, you got two screens, big whoop, what are you going to do with that? And then a lot of creative stuff kind of happened with it, and people were like, oh, cool, the DS is kind of awesome. I thought that was going to happen with this, but you're right. Like,
some of it has, like, been kind of creative.
Yeah.
But the great thing about the DS were the ways that people used it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought were just fucking incredible sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, Hotel Dusk Room 315 or whatever it is.
Right.
Fantastic game. You hold that vertically.
Right.
You don't hold the system normally, you hold it vertically.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're holding a book in your hands.
Right.
And there's a few games, like I believe the Brain Age games did that as well.
Okay.
A lot of the games where you primarily wrote instead of used any standard commands.
Sure.
Had you hold the system in a different way, it made you think weird.
Yeah.
About games.
Sure.
I really like that.
Yeah.
You know, in games that were like shooters where they would have enemies funnel in from the top screen down to the bottom.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for a vertical scrolling shooter. I am
right.
Crazy nuts.
Sure.
About those kinds of games. And I thought some of that stuff was great.
Yeah.
You know, there are some games that use the Wii U pretty well.
Yeah.
But it's never like, oh, without this, you couldn't put this anywhere else. Like Zombie U.
Yeah.
They use the gamepad really well in there. You know, the guy talks to you, they use the speaker, it's got good-sounding speakers in it.
Yeah.
They take
it away from you at a certain point, which makes you feel horrible.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I like Zombie U a lot, but that game could totally be ported somewhere else.
It's true. Yeah, it could.
You know, you'd have to change it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but they could have totally ported that game somewhere else, and it's kind of sad that in a world where Dark Souls is so successful, that game could have been super successful on another platform.
Right.
But the right installed base.
Yeah.
And with you selling it, like, this game's real hard, because that game was real hard.
Yeah.
I think that game could have done a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'll say.
Yeah.
Outside of them not making a compelling sell for that controller.
Yeah.
Is that they were positioning that as, well, it's like a tablet for your kids.
Right.
Great. What happens when I want to go on a car trip?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work on its own.
It doesn't work without the thing, yeah.
It was mind-boggling to me that they didn't make that as something that you could potentially use as a standalone handheld.
Right.
What if it had a DS slot on it,
mm-hmm.
and for when you're on road trips, it just plays DS games?
Pop in a DS.
Or
yeah.
its own kind of Game Boy-style game.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
But what if you could load NES classics on there? Yeah, they're just old games, but they're loaded into this device, you take it with you.
Little hard drive in there, and
that's
just,
it.
And that's all. Yeah.
Just a little flash memory in there, because mm-hmm. you can, 256 megabytes.
That can hold so many games.
Hundreds
of
old NES games.
Old NES.
They weren't even a megabyte.
No, they were tiny, yeah.
But yeah, I think there were so many ways for them to have made that a substantial item,
mm-hmm.
that it wouldn't even have mattered that much if it was integral to the games at home.
Right.
But it's like, the kid can take it with him, it does more stuff when he's here, you know,
yeah.
it's a more powerful system than the regular Wii was, so maybe the parents want to play
yeah.
a third-party game on there. It gets it in more hands.
Yeah.
It does
ring true for a lot more, you know, things to be done with it. Like, it feels like they took a half step. Instead of a full leap into it. That's what it kind of feels like to me. It just, like, you know, obviously they did take a full leap because they lost, you know, $700 million on it. But, you know.
Yeah, if they would have been a little bit more willing to say, all right, it's going to be a bigger box.
Right.
Thrown a little bit more hardware in there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's actually fairly capable. Mm-hmm. I believe it's got a quad core in it.
Right.
It's got 2 gigs of RAM in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly capable. You know, it's built on a similar form of ATI chipset.
Yeah.
Like a rudimentary version of what's in the modern consoles now. It's like a generation older.
Right.
But, you know, if they would have just thrown a little bit more beef behind it,
yeah,
it could have been close enough to this generation of games where it's like, well, we can tune these sliders back and have it work there.
Yeah.
But now they're just like in the same position they were with the Wii. They're a generation behind again.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I love the Wii U. There's a game about every quarter that comes out on it that I'm like, man, this is great, and you can't get it anywhere else because no third parties are making games for it.
Yeah.
So it's all Nintendo stuff, and it's about once a quarter you're getting something, you're like, man, Pikmin, this is fucking great, man.
Yeah.
Wonderful 101, fantastic. Bayonetta, incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just not enough.
It's a shame. It's a shame. Just not keeping the lifespan going. But, yeah, we'll see what Nintendo does with their mobile market.
I think this could do good things for them.
It could. Yeah.
But, you know, we really won't know until E3 this year. I think you'll see a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It feels less alarming than Sega. You know what I mean? When Sega went to it, because they already moved away from making hardware, you know, a while ago. And then
Sega was already basically out of money when they launched the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Nintendo is not near that point.
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem is since the time period where Sega launched the Dreamcast,
yeah,
all of the stakes have gotten way higher.
Yeah.
You're away from games that are like $4 million to make, and there are games, you know, $500 million for Destiny.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's... Granted, that includes marketing and shit, but somebody's gotta market it.
Someone's marketing it, yeah, that's the point.
And, you know, Nintendo games don't have that kind of budget to them, but I bet they... Smash Brothers was probably $100 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had a huge marketing campaign.
Huge marketing campaign for a long period of time.
And that terrible announcer in those commercials, settle it in Smash! Fuck that.
Oh, Smash announcer.
I'm just going to throw those controllers away.
He's of his own ilk, that guy.
But that kind of does it for the news.
Yeah.
I'm done yelling about Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I think that'll cover their venture, and we'll see more at E3, probably.
I hope they come out of this stronger.
I hope they do, too. I hope they come out fighting stronger after a big blunder.
I hope they don't release it two-screen handheld again.
Let's hope not. With new... I don't know. What's a Metroid? They have a Metroid cover yet? They haven't done a Metroid cover. You can do that. Like,
it's just been a while.
Right.
Like, you know, it's...
Yes.
2004 was when the DS came out. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're a hair over a decade now of this. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, bolt 4 more screens on it or something. I don't fucking know. Whatever.
The 4 screen.
Yeah.
It's the giant thing of screens.
Called the foreskin.
The force. Oh, God. Yeah, do that, Nintendo. Family-oriented. The most family-oriented company.
It's like, you know, you play 4-player games, everyone's a touchscreen. It's
everyone's
like, all right.
Foreskin. There you go. All right, that's going to do it. Moving on to our topic of the week, which is Psychonauts. Tim Schafer Classic, Double Fine Games, regarded as one of the more cult classics of gaming history, really. Not a lot of people played this game. Not a lot of people bought this game. Was not a financial success by any means, but revered and loved quite readily by a lot of people. So,
I have a long history with Mr. Tim Schafer.
Yeah,
There were a long line of Lucas adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
These are LucasArts adventure games back in the 90s.
Yep.
Maniac Mansion.
Yes.
Sam and Max Hit the Road. Full Throttle.
Yeah.
Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah.
The Monkey Island games.
Monkey Island, yeah. Monkey.
You know, it, Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango.
That just came out. They kind of did a refresh of that for modern platforms and PC.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah, it's only Sony platforms right now.
Right.
It'll probably stay that way because I think Sony kicked some money in to make that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, they're kind of making a bit of a comeback. Isn't Sierra coming back with stuff now?
Well, they brought the name back.
Yeah, and like
just like EA brought Origin back. That doesn't mean Origin Systems is going to make a new fucking Ultima.
But I know that King's Quest and like the original creators of that are back to make a new King's Quest. If I remember right.
I don't believe that's the real King's Quest, people.
Is it?
I think that's just King's Quest in name.
But I thought it was the same.
I don't think Roberta Williams is back for that. Isn't that the lady that made King's Quest?
Yeah, I think she is back for that.
What?
I think she is.
No, I think she just gave her blessing.
Oh, did she give her blessing?
Yeah, I don't think she's on that.
I remember she like came out, I assume she was probably attached to it.
Yeah, I think they just kind of showed her proof of concept stuff, and she went, whatever, I'm going to go back to my yacht.
No kidding.
Have you seen any interviews with Roberta Williams?
I have, yeah.
Kinda, excuse my language. Kind of a cunt.
We're going to bleep that. No, I'll leave that in.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I would have said this about anybody.
Right.
Not just a female.
Not just a female. Just anyone.
No, because her entire mindset towards the user base for those games is the most condescending thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah, she was just, you're too stupid to figure this out. And, yeah, like, just, and she said, like, when she left games, she left, not because they didn't want to give her money to make any more games.
Right.
She left because just the user base was just not smart enough for my games anymore, so.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the way she fucking feels about herself.
Real Phil Fish about that, isn't she?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah, Roberta Williams. Fuck that lady.
let's move on to Tim Schafer, who's quite liked in the gaming community.
Yeah, yeah. Tim Schafer, he's the guy that, like, he's like your little brother or your cousin that kind of, like, he was never the same size as you, but he always wanted to play flag football with you.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, just undersized for his age.
Right.
Not in stature, but, like, he's the guy with the biggest heart.
Right.
And just really wants to make fun games. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, I look at him and I see myself when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big metalhead.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Like, fuck yeah.
Super metalhead.
That's where
Brutal
Legend came
from.
Brutal
Legend, yeah. Was,
I don't really approve of his Jack Black association, but he's real into Jack Black for some reason.
I don't mind Jack Black, but anybody that's that into Jack Black, I probably agree with you. It's probably not.
I don't know, man. I don't think that guy's that funny. It's kind of like that South Park episode where Tyler Perry is continually making Token laugh.
It just keeps laughing. You're like,
and what? Handing him money.
That's Tim Schafer. He's just hanging out.
Just keeps handing Jack Black money.
Stop giving Jack Black money, Tim Schafer.
The fuck. But yeah, so after Grim Fandango, LucasArts, their adventure game division was shuttered, and LucasArts kind of strictly made Star Wars games for a while.
Right.
So all of those great minds that made your Sam and Max at the Rhodes and all that stuff, they were all shipped elsewhere.
Yeah.
Two major houses of games came out of this.
Did not know this before we talked about this prior to the podcast.
Telltale Games.
Telltale Games.
Which is, I believe they're in Marin County, California, which is near where LucasArts actually used to fucking be.
Right.
Near Skywalker Ranch.
Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Why does he have a ranch? Anyway.
No idea. I always felt like that was a little bit too Neverland for me.
Yeah, right?
You know, just don't send your kids to like, Lucas's house.
It's like George Bush.
Show him his Yoda.
It's like George W. Bush from Texas. I get him having a ranch. Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's got a ranch. He's from Texas. That I get. George Lucas? I don't really see him being a ranch guy.
I don't get a vibe of ranch.
I don't get a ranch vibe.
The only ranch I'm getting of him is dressing.
Ranch dressing. I could totally see that on a big burger.
He's maybe a vinaigrette kind of guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, so Telltale Games was spawned off of that. Telltale Games, you know, as you know now with The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us, and you know all of these other very popular games, they started and really founded the episodic games movement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The idea that you throw this company $30 and they will give you, at that time, 6 episodes of a new Sam and Max game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they built this proprietary engine for it that, for the time, was very expressive. It looked fucking great. I think the first Sam and Max season was 2005-ish?
Yeah.
4-ish?
Right.
And two companies were really pushing towards episodic games, and that was Valve. Mm-hmm. And we all saw how that worked out.
Yep.
Still waiting on episode 3.
Still waiting on episode 3.
11 years later. Thanks.
Wow. It's been 11 years for that, isn't it?
Yeah, think about that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when the Half-Life 2 came out. And then there was Telltale making these games. Well, Telltale's gone on to big success, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Another game company was spawned. Double Fine... Are they Double Fine Productions or Double Fine?
Double Fine, yeah.
I think it's Double Fine Productions.
Weird two-headed seal thing.
Yeah. Great logo.
Great logo. Absolutely fantastic.
When I first saw the Double Fine Games logo,
yeah.
I was like, that is a Tim Schafer-looking fucking logo. When I look at that, I hear Tim Schafer going like, isn't that awesome? Look at that!
Yeah. And that logo. I sketched on a napkin.
So, my first experience with Psychonauts, mm-hmm. the first game
right.
From Double Fine, was I purchased an Xbox at launch.
Okay.
I went out and got one,
mm-hmm.
and then in the inside of Project Gotham or Halo, they all old first-party Microsoft games had these little inserts of, like, here's what's next to come from the Xbox.
Right.
And it was, like, you know, Brute Force and Bloodwake and all this other bullshit. yeah, like, a bunch of games that never came out.
Yeah, sure.
Dancing Moira. there's a lot Don't of know shit
one.
In there.
Don't know that one.
We'll have to find that trailer sometime. Remember? It's haunting.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be sexy.
Mm.
Yeah.
You got grabbed by the ghoulies in there?
No, they hadn't acquired Rare yet.
Okay, yeah.
And that was probably, I think that was 2002.
Yeah, that came a little later.
But yeah, so there was an ad for Psychonauts, which at that time was being published by Microsoft.
Interesting.
Microsoft had gone out, and they knew they had a racing game mm-hmm. in Project Gotham Racing.
Right.
Which was the sequel to Metropolis Street Racer for the Dreamcast, which was fucking fantastic. Project Gotham, fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
They had Halo, so they got a shooter.
Right.
They had Nightcaster, which was an RPG. It was bad.
Yeah.
But they had an RPG.
Sure.
And they were desperately trying to find a platformer.
Right.
And they had about 5. All in development at the same time.
Yeah.
Blinks the Time Sweeper.
Oh, yeah.
Voodoo Vince.
Yeah.
Pharaoh Game. I think it's just called Pharaoh.
It's called Pharaoh, yeah.
Psychonauts. Have I already said that?
Yeah, no. Nope.
Maybe?
No, nope, didn't say that yet. And what was that fifth?
I know there's another one. Right. I know there's another one.
It's a dick.
But... God, what the... She had pink hair, and it was voiced by Gwen Stefani.
Oh, man, that's gonna kill me. Oh.
Whatever. That game was fucking terrible.
It was bad. It was awful.
But...
It did have Gwen Stefani.
But Psychonauts and that Gwen Stefani game got canceled.
Right.
Both of those games ended up getting picked up.
Right.
Largely because they had, in their development cycle, Microsoft first-party money behind them at a certain point, so even though they weren't done... Big money had been put into their undercarriage.
Yeah, their initial.
So at a certain point, it's just fit and finish.
Right.
So Majesco goes out and bets big.
Right.
Majesco, third-party publisher, up until this point, a lot of mobile-ish games, not mobile, but portable games.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying, with a two-pronged approach, to bet big.
Yeah.
Two games, Psychonauts and Advent Rising.
Yeah.
Which was announced as a trilogy.
Right.
Which, this was... really one of the first of those games that was announced as a trilogy.
Right.
And Advent Rising flopped.
Horribly.
Hard.
Horribly.
It flopped so hard.
Yeah.
Do you know that Advent Rising had a $1 million contest with it?
No.
That someone who bought the game and did something in it was going to get $1 million.
That's right, yes.
Majesco didn't have the money to follow through on this because
that.
Advent Rising and Psychonauts had both tanked so hard.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
So, I believe it's in 2004 is when Psychonauts is released by Majesco.
Uh-huh.
Both games are... Psychonauts is released to pretty good reviews.
Right.
But this is also an incredibly crowded space.
Yeah.
For your... for what appeared on the surface as a cutesy platformer.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Blinks the Time Sweeper out there, you had Ratchet and Clank out there, you had Tack and The Legend of Juju and all that Tack. Shit. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there were a lot. You had Sly Cooper, you had Jak and Daxter.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of... They weren't necessarily all on the Xbox.
Right.
And you had a lot of games that looked like platformers that were all just being swept under the rug. Like Beyond Good and Evil failed. Even though all they had to say about Beyond Good and Evil is, yo, it's Zelda. And everybody would have fucking bought it.
Yeah.
Second game was actually really good.
It was.
But it looked like a cutesy puzzle platformer.
It did.
And this is just a casualty of everybody rushing to the table at the same time with a similar plate, and you can only eat so much.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, it's true, because there was a lot of that very, like, kind of style of humor, same style of humor, same style of cutscene, cartoonish, you're watching a cartoon, basically, you're advancing through this game to watch the cartoon play out.
And what's funny is that everybody was trying to realize that dream. If you, one of the most quoted things that everybody always chuckled at was that, remember when they announced the PS2, and they were like, Toy Story quality graphics. And I think that's why we had so many platformers at the same time, is that everybody said, well, these new systems are so powerful.
Yeah.
What if we just fucking try to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody went for it.
Yeah.
And some were really good, and no, like, Voodoo Vince is great.
Yeah.
Voodoo
yeah.
Vince is awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody bought it.
Nobody bought that one.
Notice you haven't seen another Voodoo Vince.
You haven't seen, it hasn't become a franchise, that one, sadly.
And, you know, it's not much later, but, you know, I think Banjo-Tooie was like a 2001 game.
Yeah, yeah.
You had Conker on the N64.
Conker was on the N64.
That was an 01 game, wasn't it?
That was an 01 game, I believe, yeah. Yeah, just that kind of style of, you know, exploration, collecting,
platformer. And since Mario 64,
yeah,
the platformer had a defined gameplay formula.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was going for it.
Yeah, everybody had that ground pound. Everybody had that...
Here's our quirk, though. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Blinks with the Time element, you know, Psychonauts had its whole psychedelia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that's probably, like, a good view at the history of this.
Sure.
I'll take off my teacher hat for a while.
And that's...
What did you think about it?
I thought it was very interesting. The visuals, and something I'd already seen prior to having played it at all... something I've already seen about it. The visuals are very distinct. Nothing else really looks like this game except for maybe Beetlejuice, the animated series. Like, that's, like, really the only thing I can think of that looks even remotely like this.
What was the name of the car in that?
Honk
Bag?
Honk something, I think, yeah.
Honk Bag?
Might have been Honk Bag. I don't know. I remember it had a CGI skeleton in it. Like,
Doomy.
It was Doomy. You're right.
Boom!
Pick that out.
I haven't seen that in 20 years.
Pull that shit out of from the back of the recesses,
you know,
of the brain.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not 20.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I wasn't 20.
That's a callback.
I was like 15. I was like 15 when that came out. Anyway. But no, nothing else really looks like it. It's got great voice acting. I've recognized lots of the voice actors on there. Richard Stephen Horowitz. Horvitz. Plays the main character, Raz. He's well known for many other things.
This game would have benefited greatly today.
Yeah.
From all of these voice actors being in the same room at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
One of the few issues that I do have with the voice acting, I think the voice acting overall is fantastic.
Sure, sure.
I think they talk a little much,
mm-hmm.
but I also feel like they're not talking to each other.
Exactly. And that's kind of like a formula of... It's
this
kind of,
age.
It is. It's of this age, and it's kind of, you know, when video games were just getting voice acting, like, and it was becoming a thing, and they're like, we need to actually hire voice actors for this now, because this sucks. Like just having our...
Tom in accounting is not working anymore.
He's not working as the wizard, okay? We need to hire somebody.
Man, I'm the wizard!
So, you know, you don't have, like, a great, you know, voice acting director to come in there and go, okay, I want you to read this line in this connotation with this inflection, whatever. Because voice actors know how to do that, but if you're like, all right, give us this line. All right, they give us that line, and it doesn't match up with what's going on here. Something big could be occurring, like an explosion could be going on. This person's acting like an explosion's going on, but this person's very mellow, because they weren't really directed properly the fact that there's an explosion going on.
Or, in, you know, when we had smaller disc formats, you have this... sound clip recorded for an action sequence.
Yeah.
And then a sequence that was recorded for some other situation where it's like,
yeah,
I don't know where he went. Oh, I don't know where he's going! Have you seen Tom?
Have you seen it? Yeah. It's, yeah, exactly, like that. It's like, it was of this era kind of a deal where, like, voice and sound was, like, it wasn't really understood that it's repetitive. Like, we've heard the same sound clip from one of the characters about 19 times playing through it. And that just happened all the time back then. You don't really get that now. It happens with the old WWE games, you know, where it's just the same recycled, hey, collusion! You know, Jerry Lawler saying the same thing over and over. It's just like that technology advancing as it goes along, and back then you just kind of appreciated, oh, they have voices. And they actually sound like they're the characters that they'd be coming out of.
Yeah.
And it's very impressive. That's what I liked about it, was like this, like all these characters, they clearly were like, this guy looks like this, he needs to sound like a little weasel, you know.
That's why
like
I'm
that.
Not surprised that, yeah. Like, it's why I'm happy we actually used this game for one of these, because I know that you're a big voice acting guy, so I thought that you would immediately latch on to that portion of this game, because for, you know, an 11-year-old game, I mean, it's still, with a little bit of tightening on the timing, I feel like this is still a very relevant audio casting and script recording.
Agreed. They clearly knew what they were going for, and you know, like I said, like, everybody matches. The guy sounds like he has an overbite, you know, stuff like that. It's like, they clearly showed them the model and was like, this is what it looks like, make a noise, you know, make a thing that he would say. So, and it's a lot of passion, clearly a lot of passion into what's going on, because nothing else looks like it. Nothing else really sounds, well, there's other things that sound like it, but at the time, I don't think anything really sounded like that, you know, Tack and the Power of Juju is kind of the same way. They got real voice actors to do that.
Patrick Warburton
was in
Hot that. Meal, man.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, it's like Patrick Warburton was in that sucker. You know, they went all out for it in that regard. And I think a lot of games were doing that same thing. So, and but this, you know, this one's kind of beloved because of a weird sense of humor, a weird visual aspect to it. We didn't get to her brain, but I know, like, the female camp counselor has one of the most disturbing inner brain, like,
there's quite a few, I guess we'll go into a little bit how the gameplay works now.
Sure.
The game is set up where it has a hub overworld.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think your Mario 64s.
Yes.
You know, you search around the world, you can find collectibles, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the actual campaign, the actual missions, are inside of other people's brains.
Right.
So you'll go into other students' brains, you'll go into instructors' brains,
mm-hmm.
bad guys' brains, all sorts of stuff. Throughout the process of this is a 3D platformer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got free stick, right stick camera controls, it's got a double jump, it's got a melee, you unlock all sorts of other, you know, psychonaut abilities, you know, your pyrokinesis, telekinesis.
Sure. All your Ness abilities.
Yeah, your
PK fire.
The kind of stuff that you would associate with somebody who's got brain stuff going on.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of that, a lot of the gameplay in this is kind of par for the course, but executed well.
Right.
I do not feel like the combat stuff is, like, top of the genre.
Right.
I feel like Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter were, Sony was cranking out the hits when it came to platformers.
Sure.
Which is kind of the reason that this was developed as an Xbox game, primarily.
Yeah.
It came out later on the PC. It also came out on the PS2.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that they were not in a rush to get a PS2 copy out there.
Yeah.
Instead to spend more resources getting this Xbox One right.
Right.
Because that was a more prime space for this game.
Yeah.
Because the PS2 was just so crowded.
Yeah.
I mean, if you thought the Xbox was crowded for platformers, man, that PlayStation, it's like 14 people in an elevator, man. You're just jammed. And somebody farted in there.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
It was Daxter.
Oh, it was Daxter.
It was Daxter. But yeah, like, The gameplay in this is pretty satisfying. I'm a sucker for collectibles. All the collectibles are some form of currency in this game that you can use to unlock mind points so that you can upgrade your abilities.
Right.
You get pretty much all of the abilities in the game through the mission structure,
right,
and you upgrade them with those mind points.
Right.
I think that system works really well. As somebody who tends to really go on a scavenger hunt,
sure,
for those items, I love having all this stuff stockpiled. You get a new ability, and it's just like jamming on that button. Like, yeah!
Hit that sucker.
I've only got to deal with this level one ability for one fucking level, and then after that, this shit is over. You know, while you're in somebody's mind, you have to deal with things like their emotional baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You find, you know, keys to unlock their emotional baggage to help them deal with repressed memories.
Yeah.
It really embraces the idea,
yeah,
of being in someone's mind. Like, the first level that we played through is a World War One section.
Yeah.
You know, so you're processing or helping this camp counselor,
right,
through some of his memories.
Yeah.
You collect figments,
yeah,
of their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be, like, big monsters. It could be for him, like, it's blimps and bombs and
giant Bowie knives and, you know, knives and stuff like that.
Things he had to deal with, things that are still hanging in there.
Yeah.
Every person in the game has a hidden portion of their mind,
right,
that they don't want you to get to.
Right, yeah.
Which I think is a great element. Mm-hmm. It helps you unravel more.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'll say about the gameplay, it does have a Ratchet and Clank grinding section. You know, you also saw it in Sonic games at the time.
Sure, sure.
Very typical kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's climb up ladders, jump around, collect things. It's a collect-a-thon.
Sure.
The other thing that I'll say is that some of the later levels in this game are a complete bitch.
Really? Just like
the meat circus level, if... fuck. I almost quit the game when I played through it the first time,
wow,
at that level, and I'm pretty vigilant about, like, I'm going to fucking finish this game.
Right.
Especially if it's something I'm enjoying as much as this game, but it was just
a real spike in difficulty.
It just didn't feel fair.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a lot of it that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, outside of that, it's your 8 to 10 hour,
mm-hmm,
you know, action platformer of the era. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it looked cool to me. Like you said, like, they really commit to the theming. It's like each world is very, you know, like, they understood that going into each one of these worlds, you're going into a person's head. So everything about this themed world has to be based
all new assets.
Yeah, exactly. Just new assets to this area. Like, we didn't explore anything other than the World War One world, but I kind of got the gist of it right off the bat, because he's this commando type drill sergeant-y camp counselor. So you go into his head, and what do you see? You see World War. You see trenches. You see blocky, stagnant ladders and blimps and just, you know, images of old war that he obviously went through, and maybe even glamorized or glorified, or were traumatizing in many ways. And it was interesting that he was the first one to go through, because, you know, he'd already dealt with it kind of, so he was just kind of telling you, deal with it, pal. Like, this is what everybody has. Everybody's got figments, everybody's got baggage. Deal with it.
There's really nothing there to kill you in that entire first level.
Yeah, nothing.
You'll miss some platforms. I did.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he's already coped
with
his emotional trauma.
Exactly.
It's effectively your tutorial level,
yeah,
but it helps you come to grips with a lot of the design.
Yeah. Yeah.
This person has a fairly good handle on that. And as you travel farther into that game,
yeah,
you start dealing with more and more people who are unhinged.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of their minds are much more violent.
Yeah, there's one image that I'm not going to spoil, but I know of it because I looked at, like, some top 10 most messed up or scariest things in games, and the female camp counselor has one of the most messed up scenes ever, like, that I've ever seen. It's terrifying, and, like, you actually kind of have to experience it. That's really cool to me that, like, that's the way they went with it. There's always that extra bonus level you get to that's that area they don't want you in. So you know it's going to be some... It sets up to be something you want to go through. even though you know it's going to be messed up, you definitely want
to
see it.
And it's it adds a sinister edge to what is otherwise, for the most part, a fairly non-offensive game.
Yeah, very cartoony.
You know, I mean, I love the overworld.
Yeah.
It's a fucking summer camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always wanted to go to a summer camp. I wanted to go to one so bad.
I never was at one either, yeah. My brother went. I never went, though.
So. I always wanted to go. Yeah. And for me, that's just that little slice. I like summer camp movies.
Yeah.
It's why I always like Friday the 13th.
It's true.
It's fucking like sleepaway camp, all sorts of My childhood was weird.
Yeah. But yeah, it had that visual edge to it. I think you really pointed out with the that painted-looking background kind of deal.
Yeah. Everything looks like it's a mosaic painting in the background.
Like a what's the wax-colored kind of, like color soft painting in the background. And I'm sure on standard def it looks better because you don't get that kind of mixy, with high def. You get that little, sharp edge because everything's detailed.
The Xbox 360 emulation for the backwards compatibility for this is not great.
That's right, yeah. We experienced some audio difficulties.
Some audio problems. We also had some tearing in the visuals. Mm-hmm. There's also like a weird glitch that at times... Did you see the line that would run down the screen at times?
Yeah.
Enough said about the backwards compatibility on the 360, but... it's not the optimal way to play it. If you've got an original Xbox, I'd go that way.
Right.
Or Double Fine has now acquired the rights back.
Okay.
To Psychonauts, the exclusivity contract with Majesco has ended.
Okay.
So now they're selling this themselves.
Okay. Cool. So
you can buy it on Steam. Oh. Anything will fucking play it.
Oh, there you go. I might just get it on Steam.
It's 11 years old.
Yeah.
plug a 360 controller into your PC and go.
There you go.
It'll map right to it.
Awesome.
This is the first of the Double Fine games on modern consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Its legacy is one that... this may sound a little bit harsh. I think it's a little bit unearned.
Right.
I think it's one of those things where it's an oddity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where it earns it, I think. Is more... because I don't think anybody really praises it as like something that's... Oh, it's... technologically amazing or even gameplay-wise. It's something.
There's people out there that claim this is one of their favorite games out there.
Well, sure, but I think that most of that comes, from the visual and atmosphere and theming, more so than the gameplay, I would say.
Yeah, I think if you're somebody who was really into, Nightmare Before Christmas,
any Tim Burton fans. Yeah. I have friends, big Tim Burton fans, this is their favorite game, period, because... They freaking love Tim Burton, and this is quirky, goofy, Tim Burton-y type look. Again, like I said, it looks like Beetlejuice, the animated series.
If you're the kind of guy whose favorite movie is Escape from New York, you're a big fan of Metal Gear Solid.
Exactly.
Why do you think I like Metal Gear Solid?
Why the hell do you think I like Metal Gear Solid? I will say, Escape from New York, that's a good flick.
That's good.
Escape from L.A., not so much.
No.
he surfed a tidal wave.
Universal Soldier of the Return.
Oh, man. Goodness.
Underrated movie? Yeah. Soldier.
Soldier? Yeah. Just, which one is that? Was that?
Soldier.
Soldier. Was that before Universal Soldier? Or
no, it's it was late 90s.
Okay.
Right. It's got, what the fuck's his name? From Escape from New York.
Oh, Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell, yeah.
It's got Kurt Russell, and he's the star of the movie, and I think he says maybe 20 lines.
Hmm, interesting.
It's actually a really good movie.
I like Kurt Russell a lot.
Let's watch Soldier sometime.
let's watch John Carpenter's The Thing. How about that?
Yeah, let's play that game.
Yeah, we should play that game. There's something about that game that's very interesting to me, because I never played it. I've heard people that like that.
You ever watched The Thing?
Oh, the movie?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course. No, that's like one of my favorite. That if it weren't for Big Trouble in Little China, that would be Kurt Russell's best movie.
I don't like Big Trouble.
Big Trouble in Little China is amazing.
You know what's better than that?
What's that?
The Golden Child.
The Golden Child is not better than
They're
Big Trouble.
Basically, the same movie,
but it's not as good as Big Trouble in Little China.
You are
it's
out of
not as good,
dude. The part where Eddie Murphy's like, "Give me the knife," I laugh every time.
I have much respect for the Golden Child. Do not get me wrong.
The kid eating those weird leaves doesn't make any sense.
But Big Trouble in Little China smokes it. Like, it's not even a contest to me.
I didn't see Big Trouble in Little China until, like, a year ago.
Yeah, see, I think that's probably what it was. I remember when we worked together, you hadn't seen it, when we were talking about it. You hadn't seen
it. What's this truck called, like, the Hot Durger Express or something?
Yeah, and I was just kind of like,
dog.
If you hadn't seen it yet, you probably won't appreciate it as
it was okay!
I thought it was amazing. Like, yeah, I think it's amazing. That movie is great.
It is the most filmed on a backlot movie you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. That thing is, like, literally, they had one alley to shoot in, and that's
2 doors over, they are filming a Cottonelle commercial.
It is such a set. It's amazing.
It is the... That's got to be the Back to the Future set, right?
It's pretty close.
I think, like, that's a side street off of that city square.
It might be. And they just, like, made it up to look like Chinatown, and, like, here's the movie. We can make a tunnel later, but that's it. That's all it is.
Fuck that movie.
I love that fucking movie. The best part about that movie, this is the last thing I say about it. The best part about that movie is that it has a protagonist that wants nothing to do with the story. He wants his truck back, and that's it.
It's the Big Lebowski.
And that's amazing. And it's amazing. So
it's the Big Lebowski.
It is.
But dude just wanted his rug back.
But it was before Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski's better, though.
But I will say Big Lebowski is probably a better movie. It's a great movie.
I'm not, like, obsessive about it like some people.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty good fucking
that's
movie.
That's a good fucking movie.
I also make a good Walter Sobchak.
You would make a good Walter. You absolutely would.
You never seen me dressed up like that for Halloween?
You should totally do that.
I've done that. Oh, you've done it before. I've done that like 4 times.
You should totally do it again.
I still have all the shit.
I'll be the dude. I got
the shooting glasses and everything.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, I'll be the dude. It'll be all right.
Wear some cargo shorts and combat boots, man. You're good to go.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, you know, Psychonauts, like, I think...
Oh, yeah, Psychonauts.
Our conversations tend to diverge like this. I don't know why anybody listens to this podcast.
I have no clue. We get some pretty decent downloads, though.
I appreciate each and every one of you.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, that is probably the most genuine thing I will ever say on this podcast, is that for you to take time out of your life to watch our dumb videos or listen to our stupid podcast, that we're trying to structure more... We're doing an okay job.
This is a good structuring, though. We go on tangents, but we keep on topic.
We keep coming back.
I think this topic, this format, I enjoy.
And we're on a weekly format again.
We are. We're on a weekly format. The Schmozcast, not so much. Actually, we'll get into that and clean up later. But let's finish off Psychonauts here.
I think its lasting legacy is one that I think some of the revere is maybe not earned, as I said earlier.
Right.
But I do believe that this is a quality video game. Mm-hmm. If someone were to tell me that, you know, that they love this game, that this is one of their favorite games of all time, I'm not opposed to saying, like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Right.
Especially depending on who the person is. Like, if you're a big Tim Burton fan, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this is the sharpest Tim Schafer writing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good.
Yeah, yeah. He obviously gets better as it goes along, obviously. And
yeah, I think some of the stuff he's doing now is pretty good, but I still feel like Maniac Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Day of the Tentacle. Did you hear they're bringing that back as
well? Yeah, I did hear that.
Day of the Tentacle is... It's top 5 for me of all time.
Yeah.
And I said this earlier to you. I feel like Tim Schafer, LucasArts era adventure games... defined my opinion of comedy.
Oh, wow.
I was around 12 to 13 years old playing these games and just laughing myself to death.
Maniac Mansion has some of the most... I've recently watched that played back. That has some hilarious writing in it. Like, to this day, hilariously, I'm going to stereotype this type of movie in this game.
It's perfect.
And I'm going to parody it. And it's just good stuff. One of my favorite lines ever is when you give the Coke to the tentacle, and he goes, 12 whole ounces? That's a lot!
Fantastic.
That's brilliant.
Maniac Mansion, you gotta put the meteor in the trunk.
Yeah, gotta put the meteor in the trunk. Oh, all the good stuff.
Use keys to open doors.
Yeah. I hated that game when I was a kid. Terrified me when I was a kid. When something came out after you and was chasing you, oh, dude. No.
My experience with that game... Maniac Mansion came out on CD.
Yeah.
But it also came out on floppies.
Okay.
And I think the only sound clip in the entire game on the floppy version that I had was just the murder turn at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gave you that little taste of like, well, you know, there's another version out here. If you want to pay $50 again, if you want to get episode 2 of Commander Keen,
go to your local toy store.
Hey, remember Shareware?
I remember Shareware.
If you want to get episode 2 of Wolfenstein 3D, that'll be $39.95.
Oh, episodic gaming. It was early episodic gaming.
No, that was fuck you gaming is what that was.
That's true.
I only had first act of Doom for like a whole year. I played the shit out of that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like, you know, I think there is a lasting legacy in here. I think that Tim Schafer has defined so much of what I associate with comedic writing, snappy dialogue. It's on display here. Yeah. Like I said, I don't necessarily feel like this is his sharpest.
Right.
But there's the great thing about this game that I'll close my opinions on is that this game still feels modern enough that you can sit down as someone who has never seen anything about it, plug in a controller to a PC or an Xbox or what the fuck ever, and have a quality experience that you can take something from.
Yeah,
that you won't get anywhere else.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Is like, I can definitely sit this down and play it. Because I can sit down and play in Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie, stuff like that. This is definitely something I would sit down and play. And I have an original Xbox. I might go pick it up. Or I'll just pick it up on Steam, because it's on Steam now.
Yeah, so, and when it's on Steam sales, I mean, I'm sure you'd be able to get it for $1.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So I might just get it on Steam and just play through it.
Well, if you've got an original Xbox, just take my copy.
Yeah, right.
Go and play it.
All right, cool.
All of you, go play that game.
Go play this. It's a good game. It's just this is one that that is definitely something you should go and buy. Not like last week's. No,
I'm glad. Don't buy Gundry.
I'm glad we covered this one because the first one was a game that pretty much no one remembered or knew about, other than you, I guess.
Almost everybody I know that is a fan of the show emailed or texted me and went, "The fuck is that?
What the hell is that game?" Gungrave is a game that no one likes but me. Literally, no one in this world enjoys that game other than me. And I don't even know why I like it. Still to this day. Never figured it out on the podcast either. No clue why that game is enjoyable to me. This time we're covering kind of a classic, and it kind of made sense. It was kind of a. It's evolved pretty well here. I think this is pretty good. We're going to go back to weekly format. We're going to record one of these every week. Maybe two in 1 week to take a week off, but it'll still be... We'll keep it pretty much in the same ilk.
Yeah, when we do double up, what you'll probably find is that one episode will have all the news, and then the next one will be like, well, this is recorded at an earlier time. We don't have any news.
We don't have any news with this one. But it's fine, because those will probably be on if we do, like, a Pokemon. I feel like we're probably going to talk about a lot in that episode, or something of that regard. Like we talk a long time about this one, or we do a series. We just do the Ratchet and Clank series or something, or we run through all three of them. Is there four Ratchet and Clanks? Three or four?
On the PS2?
On the PS2,
there's four.
Four, I think, yeah.
The fourth one is deadlocked, and it barely counts.
Yeah.
And then on the PS3, I believe there's four.
Right, yeah. So if we do one of those, we'll probably just do a whole episode of just like, no news, know what you're playing, we just did this. So, and that's probably what it'll be like. And, you know, I look forward to doing this more. This has been... It's re-energized the site a bit. We've gotten back into it.
I've got an idea for next week.
Okay. Actually, I would love to. Yeah, let's. What do we want to do for next week? I leave it up to you. I picked Psychonauts, so I leave it up to you.
I want to play Indigo Prophecy.
Indigo Prophecy. I've never played that game. So we did look at it last
from
week.
The Heavy Rain guy. It's a David Cage joint.
That's right.
It's known as Fahrenheit overseas. The Fahrenheit, the European version had a bunch of nudity in it.
Right.
Weird game.
Weird set of game.
Kind of. If you don't know anything about it, I urge you to go check out some gameplay before we talk about it for the next episode. The one thing I'll say is that you start this game covered in blood in a public bathroom, and you've just murdered a man.
Oh, well, there you go. You've seemingly just murdered a man, then, so...
There's like a dark ritual or something that had happened,
right?
And you then get to figure that all out. All
right, then. Cool. Sounds good. Sounds good.
It's a fantastic game for when it came out. In my opinion, a much greater success for its era than Heavy Rain was.
Right.
I felt like too much of Heavy Rain was very problematic.
Yeah.
From
that initial description, it kind of sounds like the... kind of sounds sort of like the Call of Cthulhu game, a little bit, in atmosphere, I would say.
This is very inspired by the whole Cthulhu legend.
Yeah, H.P. Lovecraftian type.
Yeah, there were a lot of games at this time that were drawing Lovecraftian influence.
Sure, sure.
And this is just one of those.
Okay.
I feel like some of these supernatural elements, which we may not get to in our playthrough, a lot of that stuff goes a little bit sideways later on in that game.
Right.
But I feel like for setting up... there is one other thing about that game that's real stupid.
Oh, yeah?
It's got a fucking Theory of a Dead Man song in it.
Theory of a Dead Man song?
You know that band, right?
I do know that band, yeah. And it's just got it.
Whenever I hear that song, I just chuckle. Because I think back to, like, 2003 when I was like, that's a pretty good song. And I listen to it now and go, like, God, I was stupid in 2003.
What's wrong with you?
What the fuck?
Oh, it's like
But yeah, so next week.
Yeah.
Indigo Prophecy.
Indigo Prophecy for next week. That sounds like a plan to me. I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Video Destruct Podcast. We'll check you out next time. What was it you were going to say about Majesco?
I forgot to say my favorite part about the Majesco near bankruptcy.
Yeah, what was that?
So, after Advent Rising, the failed $1 million giveaway, the Psychonauts, you know, low sales, the poor performance of the rest of their titles that they had, Majesco, their stock shrank to below a dollar.
Wow.
And they were being threatened to be delisted from the stock exchange.
Wow. That's
Do you know what saved them?
What did save them?
The Nickelodeon Game Boy Video cartridges were, they were like very light gray.
Yeah.
And they were like episodes of Rugrats and shit.
Yeah.
That you could buy for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Those things sold millions.
Wow.
You'd get like one or two episodes per thing.
Yeah, I remember those.
$20. And people were buying tons of these things.
Because that was you know, prior to watching stuff on your phone, obviously.
Yeah, and if you got a kid in the car and it's like, oh, we'll shut him up, that was pre, like, the proliferation of DVD player combo things being in cars very much.
Wow. Yeah.
So, that saved them. And the other thing that actually made them big again... Cookin' Mama.
Cookin' Mama. Really? That's the thing that...
Cookin' Mama.
That's the thing that brought them over back the horizon.
Yeah, like the Game Boy Advance Nickelodeon video things saved them, and then Cookin' Mama made them comfortable again.
That vaulted them over the top. That's good.
That's what happened.
I'm glad Cookin' Mama was good for one of those
things. Played Cookin' Mama.
That's a good game.
It's okay.
It's a good game.
It's okay.
And it's no babysitting mama. It's no babysitting mama. It's no Octo.
Or gardening mama.
It's no Octo Dad.
What is
Octo Dad? No, seriously, what is Octo Dad? I played it. I have no idea what that
I beat the whole game. I have no fucking clue
who that was. Oh, that's the addendum. So, there you go.
Bye.